I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Well, welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast. My name is John Pierce. I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Danielle Pierce.
Hello.
And today, we're going to talk all things marriage.
Yes, we are.
We've been married for how long, babe?
Look, it's been decades that we've been married.
Yes.
We got married in the 90s, would you believe?
Whoa.
1995.
That's
so
true.
We're talking 30 years plus.
Yes, it's true.
True love.
Got some kiddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grown up.
Yes.
Adult. Mm-hmm. All in their 20s now.
Yes.
Additional extras.
Two sons and a daughter and some bonus daughters.
So. Beautiful stage of life.
And we've been in ministry together for...
Nearly all that time.
Well, since 2000, we've been senior pastors, but we were leaders and on team.
Since before that.
For a number of years before that. So today, we want to help you in your marriage. We're going to give 10 hot tips around marriage. Now, the first seven, and this is our stuff. This is things that we've learned from other people.
We've
got a great marriage. You're awesome. I like to joke that I've had 30 great years of marriage. Danielle's had 20 great years.
She's
put up with me for many, many years. don't answer that too much. So good. So we're going to give 10 hot tips. Three of them are going to be specific to marriage and ministry. Because I know many of us listening to this podcast are senior pastors or in ministry together in some format.
Yeah.
So we're going to go one for one. We'll jump in a little bit. There might be, if I say something that's maybe a little over the top, you can hone it back and make it
Truth
real.
Serum.
I feel I'm getting ready to be run over by a bus too, so I feel like that might well happen.
Should I bring that out? No.
So,
some stories.
10 top tips. Here you go. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts.
Right.
Number one, I'm going to kick it off, is to get a vision for your marriage. So lots of us can have a vision for a church or for our business or for ministry, but foundational out of our relationship with Jesus, we need to have a vision for our marriage. And pretty early on, we got this phrase that we'd love to have an outstanding marriage. I like to joke that sometimes that means I'm outstanding in the backyard wondering what I did wrong. But as a general
rule, every now and then.
Our vision is to have an outstanding marriage. We want to be best friends. We want to be not just parents first, but we want to be best friends. We want to be soulmates. We want to have fun together. We want to live a life of impact together. We want to grow old together.
Nice.
And so we've articulated that as a vision. So that's number one hot tip. Get your vision for your marriage that you can pray into and focus on.
I like that.
You like that?
That means I have to work at being an outstanding wife, not just expecting you to be an outstanding husband.
Wife.
So work
man.
At that. I try.
I like that scripture. It says, he who finds a wife finds favor from the Lord.
I've
found favor.
Jesus.
All right, honey.
Yes.
Hot tip number
two.
Okay,
so be each other's biggest encourager.
Okay.
That's how I try to be an outstanding wife, to encourage you.
You do well.
There's so much negativity and criticism, and life can be hard at times.
Right.
And so that flying around, we have our own self-doubt. So to be each other's biggest fan, biggest encourager. So many men, the words of affirmation is a love language.
Hello. Talk to
and
me.
And so we
what
all need encouragement. You need courage put into you, right?
Exactly.
I need it put into me. So rather than looking elsewhere for that, to be that for each other, and just be really specific in encouragement and what you love about them. And
so we're talking publicly or privately?
Oh, we're talking both, actually.
Okay.
Because, you can do it in private, and that's meaningful.
Yes.
But speak well of each other
in
public and in private, and don't throw them under the bus.
No.
In that non-fun way.
Yeah. The fun's cool, but, you don't want to be publicly critical of your spouse. You want to have a good conversation. If there are, there's always going to be stuff. You've got to talk about that. But to make the choice that I'm going to speak the best
over
each other.
Being
You're really good at that. Hey, one of the fun things, we're empty nesters now, so one of the fun things we've started is after dinner each night is we just say three things that we appreciate from the day or that we love about each other. That's part of intentionality, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really encouragement. Good. All right, great. Number two tip, be each other's biggest encourager. Number three, here we go. It's to invest in your marriage, all right? This is a mindset. If you want to have an outstanding marriage, if you want to have a great marriage, then it doesn't just happen. You take two people, different personalities, different family of origins, different issues. We've all got issues, all right? You take those two and try and put us together, it's not going to automatically be great. That's a myth from the movies. So to have a great marriage, you've got to have a consistent mindset of investment. So that for us, what that looks like over the years is a goal every year of what are we going to do to invest into our marriage? Are we going to do a marriage seminar? Are we going to do a marriage course? Are we going to see a marriage coach? Are we going to read a book together and have conversation, podcasts, etc.? So having that mindset of investing, here's a couple of, we can give some hot tips on books, okay? Mm-hmm. But what I've loved over the years, focus on the family, do a marriage podcast with some guys interviewing experts. So it's kind of like a way of gleaning the best material from different authors and books. And often on my day off, to set my mind towards being a good husband, I'll listen to a half an hour of hot tips on marriage. Is really good. So that'd be one resource.
Sheet
what do you think?
Sheet music.
Hello, Kevin Lehman.
Intimacy, yeah. What's sexual that all about? Intimacy, in between the sheets.
Sex, baby. Absolutely. That's awesome. That's a really good resource.
Yeah. I would say invest money into your marriage as well.
Great.
So date nights.
Yes.
And when you're in a position to go on getaways together. Yes. But just sewing and investing into your marriage is important in your budget as well. So investment this way gives great.
Awesome. And really important. Sometimes it's easier to put, you know, church and ministry can be demanding. Absolutely. That's the reality. Kids can be demanding and need your attention. But if you can keep your relationship strong, that will mean that you'll be the best parent. You'll be the best pastor or leader.
Yeah,
so
it's
putting
a priority
on that relationship comes out of the vision, but you got to invest. All right. Number four.
Awesome.
What have you got?
Number four is pray together as a couple.
Yes.
We all have our private prayer times and quiet times with God.
Right.
But learning how to pray together, it is a skill and it is a learned skill. It doesn't necessarily happen naturally. It didn't happen well for us.
No.
We took a lot of trying again until we work it out. It was hard to start with.
Well, we both, again, both different visions. I've read these books. We're going to kneel beside the bed every night, pray, seek God, storm the heavens.
Okay.
Spiritual connection.
That's not going to work
powerful.
For me.
And you?
I'm like waiting for a gap in the prayer for me to start my, like early on, it was like a pre-prepared in my head little prayer that I'm just trying to insert it in there. I wasn't comfortable.
That, no.
Yeah. So we took many years to work out how to learn to pray together.
Right.
And then once we now know how it works for us,
yes.
It's powerful,
right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We get on the same page.
Yeah.
Like we just get built up by each other's faith. We're in agreement in praying into things together, whether for the kids, the church, just personal things.
Yeah.
But that pray together is just so necessary
for us
right now.
And it's so powerful to just pray for each other. So that's one of those ways where you're encouraging each other to say, God, I thank you for Daniela. Thank you, the gift she is to me. You know, and pray into specific pressure points that you've got. And so sometimes that's finances. So we would, for a number of years, pray together for 5 or 10 minutes. Doesn't have to be a long time, but pray together into our finances. Pray together over one of our kids went a bit away. He went prodigal for a while. And so we just pray together every day, declaring the promises of God.
Yeah.
And we'll chat a bit more about that later, but that's a really important thing, isn't it?
Well, if you've given it a shot before and it hasn't worked out, don't give up.
Yes.
Have another go. Just try and work it out into your time, your schedule,
right.
Who takes the lead on it and how it works for you.
I've got a bit of time to go a bit practical with this. Okay. So something I had to learn as a fervent prayer is it's not my quiet time. Turn it down.
Right.
And just pray for a couple of minutes and stop. And then Danielle would pray. And then what else have we learned?
Thanks for allowing me into your quiet time.
No, I appreciate that. What about this? There's been numbers of times where both of us have prayed the same thing that the other person prayed because A, we weren't listening.
Just off in your own.
And then you're like, hey, wasn't my prayer good enough? How come you're praying
that as well?
Absolutely.
It's just like another prayer on top of the already said prayer. But you figure it out. And,
don't weaponize your prayers. So like, Lord, I pray for Danielle's attitude. I pray that you do a deep work in her heart.
There's so much potential for this to go wrong.
Don't weaponize it.
It's worth trying.
Yeah.
And just getting there in that.
Exactly. Have a goal. Have a goal.
It's taken us a lot of years.
Together 3 times a week, whatever.
Yeah.
Just have a goal. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. The next one. So that was pray together. The next one is build emotional intimacy. All right. I'd like to say I came up with that myself. I didn't. In fact, like most guys, if you said to me build intimacy, I'm like, here I am. I'm in. Let's go. In fact, most guys. Get the marriage book and flick straight to the sex chapter. You know how it is, all right? But emotional intimacy is different. Emotional intimacy actually leads to sexual or physical intimacy. But emotional intimacy is where, I heard someone say it like this. It took me quite a long while to work out, but it's into me see. Intimacy, into me see.
So good.
So I want you to see into my heart. I want you to see into my thoughts. I want to reveal things that that are going on inside of me. And so to build emotional intimacy is actually one of the great gifts of your relationship. And it takes a little time to open up. I probably learned, so, you know, we will chat about this soon, but we saw a marriage counselor at a phase in our marriage where we'd hit some conflict and got some great tools. But one of the things he told me, and I was shocked by this, is Danielle wants to be brought into the loop of the things that are stressing you or the things that are difficult for you. So,
right, you were thinking that was more of a burden for
me. Yeah,
I don't want to tell you because you're going to feel weighted
down by that.
Because
I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of God. Yeah. So I'm going to take my challenges to God, get happy, and then I'll come back happy to you.
What about me over here? Yeah. Like, have a conversation.
Well, I remember the counselor going, Danielle, would you like to hear some of the challenges or the thoughts that are bombarding John? And she's like, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I'm going,
of course.
What? Oh, no, I've got to have it all together. So for me to learn to let you into...
Yeah.
And I still don't like to say what's stressing me out. That's not in my vocab. So what I like to say is what I'm thinking about. Here's some things that are on my mind right now. So, and we actually, you know, each day that'll be like checking on each other, how you're going and what's on your mind or how's your day or what's come up. But then we actually...
And equally as important is how you respond to that.
Right.
Because neither of you want to get into that fix-it mode. No. Oh, that's what's on your... Oh, I can help with that. Or we can shift this. Or we can change that.
Guilty as charged. You're right.
We all that's do me. It. Yep. But it's just that, oh, I hear you. I get it. Right. I understand why that's so much pressure for you. And
I wasn't
why you're
aware.
Feeling like that.
Okay.
I appreciate you letting me know. So having that conversation is a real...
Well, and then for you, because girls particularly are better at doing this. Automatically you share stuff. It's just kind of the way you're wired. So what I've learned to do at the end of that is, one, give empathetic feedback. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Thanks for sharing. That must be really tough.
Right.
And then once we've done that, I might say, is there anything you'd like me to do?
Yeah, well, sometimes
that?
There is. Sometimes there is. You don't know,
spell
right? It's like,
out,
am I allowed to fix
tell
or
me,
am I not?
Tell
it's
me
like...
what you need to happen. I'm not a rock. I'm not a mind reader. So... spell it out.
So generalizations with male and
sure.
female there, but
we're
both ways go. And I appreciate sharing my things and having you hear it and just feeling connected in that. And sometimes there is no fix it. It's just sharing how you're actually feeling. So definitely the emotional intimacy that gets built between you as you're just sharing life stuff and pressures and good things as well. It's just creating
it just flows out of who you are. But what we found in the early phases to make that a part of your relationship, we had to be quite intentional, and we had to sort of go, okay, let's have some time where we talk about this. And the Gottman Institute, which we'll refer to in a moment, actually talks about stress reducing conversations. So the fact that I say, hey, this week I've got a board meeting on and there's a fair bit of pressure about that, or you know, we're preaching this or this is going on and I'm thinking about it, just the sharing and letting you in, we give each other more grace and space.
Yeah.
Knowing that, okay, it's a high pressure time. And so that helps build intimacy, but it also helps us support each other. So we scheduled that in initially, you know, once a week. And then after a while, it just sort of becomes part of our conversation.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. The next one, number 6.
Number six is have fun.
Have fun.
Have fun. This is really important in life, but in your relationship as well. And whatever, you know, there's different seasons. It's can be real intense, can be real high pressured, can be very exhausting. And so kind of just going, in our marriage, we want to have fun. We want to do things together that we enjoy, that are fun. We're big on games and competition. And that brings out the fun side of us.
Who's the most competitive of us?
It's like a pretty even sort of like we're competitive, but who's competitive, but we both are pretty strongly competitive.
Yeah. Mostly it ends in laughter, not very often in tears.
we often say, come over to the fun side of the island,
Yes.
And whether it be hobbies or watching funny movies or
sharing
the reels or whatever it is, just having a bit of a laugh. But it's kind of, we found it important to be intentional in different seasons of life where just, it may be an afterthought and you kind of realise, when was the last time I had a really good laugh?
We laugh.
Having fun in our marriage. And, I mean, a good friendship obviously supports that from the get-go, but just having some fun and finding some things that you enjoy together or that's going to really...
Don't just have all your fun separately. Make sure you do things together that are joint fun things and have friends in your life who help build that fun,
your fun
in
friends.
Your world. Yeah, your fun friends. Exactly. That's cool. Number six. All right, here we go. Number seven, hot tip for your marriage, lean into conflict.
The opposite of fun.
This sounds painful.
it just moves right through the fun one.
No, but okay, it's inevitable. There's going to be conflict. It's inevitable, okay? Opposites attract. Spenders marry savers, big givers marry people who like to to hold on to things.
Well, who's a conflict avoider?
Yeah.
I mean, so many of us conflict avoiders.
That's right. People who love conflict marry a conflict avoider.
We don't want to lean into that. Just if we ignore it, maybe it'll go away.
Yeah. And lots of us haven't had a good model of conflict.
Yeah.
So, good marriages actually do argue and talk things out well and respectfully and come to a place of understanding.
You have to learn how to do that, right? It doesn't come naturally. Yeah.
You got to learn. And for years, I would say we would have thought, this is a strength. We're great communicators. Yeah. We're great.
Talk about everything.
Yeah, we can resolve conflict. And then we hit some issues. We're like, we keep trying to resolve this ourselves and it's not working. And we talked to our pastors and they said, maybe you should see a marriage counselor to talk this through. And I'm like,
learn some new tools.
Yeah, nah. I'm like, I don't see.
You're like resistance.
I was so resistance. I was pride. I'm like, I do the counselling. I don't see counsellors. And you know what? We ended up doing it for a few months.
Yeah.
And I wish we'd done it 10 years earlier. We got some great understanding of each other. We got some great tools. And one of the tools around conflict that we got, so we're big fans of the Gottman Institute. Check it out. It's an American Jewish couple. And I've even bought a little thing. They have this little thing. It's called the aftermath of a fight or regrettable incident. And so we learned, what's a good way? Because sometimes if you have conflict, what you tend to do, somebody does something dumb, it upsets the other person. They then go on the attack at the person who did it. They get defensive, they cry, all end up in tears, just hypothetically, and we all end up in gridlock over the problem.
And then it's really hard to talk about it because you're too emotional.
Yeah, someone's being defensive, someone's got, both of us are triggered.
Resentment or
there's vulnerability things from childhood.
Yeah,
it's all like you're not just talking to me now, you're talking to me and 35 years of issues, they're all coming to the surface. It's not just about putting the wheelie bins out, whatever. So what was great about this is it just gave a really good 5-step process.
Yes, and really clear.
We're not going to get into it today. But
no, we would follow it.
Literally. Even a couple of times a year now, we're like, you know what? We probably should
pull that out.
Follow that thing and follow it through so that, because the goal of conflict, and this is what we learned, it's not resolution. Because you can't resolve every conflict. It's understanding.
True sometimes.
It's understanding. Yeah. It's just like, I understand why you don't want to do that or why I don't want
that's
to do
really
that.
That's really hard for me.
Yeah, or that's upsetting or that's an unrealistic expectation or whatever it might be. You talk it through. And so And you can't
ownership,
go,
yeah. is forgiveness, yeah. is just as how you can do things differently.
Yeah.
And
How can we move forward? But doesn't necessarily mean the conflict's gone away. It just means we're managing the conflict.
So it's learned behavior within marriage. That's really important. Otherwise, things get put in the backpack and it sort of builds that resentment over time and then can be a big explosion or it just...
Yeah.
It eats people up on the inside, so not good.
So the hot tip is lean into conflict. The bonus thought is if you need help, get help.
Yeah.
And most, like, do it earlier. Have a coach mindset. Oh. If you're investing in your relationship, we all need a coach.
Doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, just go for a five-year checkup.
It's not a sign of weakness.
No, it's not. Exactly. It took me a while. It's not a sign of weakness.
It's not.
And don't go like lots of couples who go, we're going to see a counselor to fix up them or fix up you. So once you're fixed up, we'll be good. It's never that.
Is that what you were doing?
No. Okay. Come on, that's what you were doing. Nice. You were so doing that. Awesome. All right. Now, okay, this is, now we're into the final three, but they relate to ministry and marriage.
Yeah.
Because when you step into ministry and maybe you're a senior pastor, maybe one of you is a senior pastor, maybe one of you is in a leadership role in the church, or maybe you both are, how do you do that well? So, you know, there's lots of different thoughts, but we're going to share three things that we learned as co-senior pastors.
Yeah.
So,
okay, first one I'll shoot. It takes time to get on the same page. So whether you're leading or you're the co-leaders together, or one of you's in the front seat, one of you's sort of in the back seat, but just getting on the same page as to what our roles are, get some understanding, communicating really clearly.
Yep.
I know for us in early years, I was in mum land and I had another career outside of church.
Yes.
And so then you were fully immersed in church and leading as the senior pastor.
Yep.
I wasn't so much, but I wanted to be involved as much as I could, but not being there all of the time. So how could we be on the same page without spending loads of time? So we ended up just having an appointment every week to talk about things.
Yeah, even when you have the little bubbies at home. And this, I mean, it came out of, for us, we decided we wanted to lead the church together.
Yeah.
So that was our decision. Now, it didn't mean we're all both going to be full-time or both do the same role, but our vision was to be co-senior ministers. So to have different roles within that. So that meant, that was my adjustment.
Yeah.
Was I had to slow down rather than charge ahead with vision and new ideas all the time. I had to slow down, A, to hear feedback from Danielle, because she's really discerning. She's got a lot of wisdom. And also to bring her up to speed with things. So I made lots of mistakes in this. I'm like, I've
Trial
announced
and
things at church that I hadn't talked to her about, this new initiative.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Is that how it's going to be?
Yeah. So we've had our share of awkward drives home after church or after a staff
meeting.
Or
that's when I wanted to give you all these ideas or thoughts. It's like straight after you just preached and now's my chance to do it.
So that's not the time.
So it was either do it all the time or not at all.
Right.
So we just had to find a time where we could just be intentional about, let's talk about those things that I want to talk about, you want to talk about, run things past me, sign things off, get on the same page, be in agreement.
Yeah.
That we're
And that's the core again for our model of leading together is there's a sense that the power of it is being in agreement.
Yeah.
The power of it is what I've had to do is slow down and sometimes I'm pumped about an idea, but I'm waiting for Danielle to get a God yes, or just to wrap her head around it.
Yeah.
And so that slowing down makes better decisions, though. It's just slower. So I don't know.
You've done well.
It probably took me about 10 years to get the concept, I reckon, but it's worth it.
Okay, that's what we've learned.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that we've learned.
That's one of the things we've learned. Takes time to get on the same page. The next thing we've learned is we need to operate in our individual strengths. So that journey of working out, what's the grace of God on my life? What's the grace of God on your life? What is my skills? What are your skills and training? What do we love doing and have a passion about? And what do you love doing and having a passion about? And
how much capacity do you have at the time to give into that?
Or
what is your maturity in some of those areas?
Yeah.
It's all part of learning how what you can do, what you can't do in different seasons of life.
Yeah.
Also
and the trap that that's easy to fall into, that we sort of said, okay, we're going to be inspired by other senior pastors, Pastor Phil and Chris working together, or
absolutely,
Gordon and Joe Moore and watching them, Mark and Bernie watching them work together. We're going to be inspired by them, but we're different. So Danielle's different to Pastor Chris. I'm different to Gordon. You know, like we're all different in those kind of deals. So we get inspired, but ultimately we sit back and go, you know, if
what's our working relationship?
Yeah, exactly. What's our model? What are you passionate about?
Yeah.
What are your strengths and gifts? And so so Danielle's got a great gift of wisdom. You've got a great gift of administration. You've got a great prophetic grace and gift on your life. You never originally wanted to be in the pulpit, but you've grown and become a great preacher. So it changes over time.
And you're so different. Leadership and vision.
What about my gift of administration?
And strategic leadership and discipleship. And right. So they're quite different.
Yep.
But then we can bring them together and manages to and work in our lanes together in that.
And it takes time to kind of work it out and give it a shot. And you know, my advice, like for if you're a husband leading a church, co-leading with your wife, find out what she's passionate about and let her flow in what she loves doing. Don't force her to be something else.
You've had to be very patient with me. We're in it for the long haul.
You've been awesome. Yes. So there we go. So operate in your strengths. Discover them, work together. And the last one,
is number 10,
what we've learned.
How to fight together in spiritual battles. And, you know, this kind of comes back to the prayer together thing. But really, I mean, there can be so much pressure, spiritual pressure in leadership roles, in ministry roles. And so not to turn against each other and fight against each other, although that feels like it should be happening.
That's a strategy of the enemy to try and turn
and
you
so
on.
And so coming in when there's a big thing coming up, big event, big service, big vision builders, raising money, whatever it is. It's like you start attacking each other.
Yep.
So how can you turn that into, hey, we're together fighting these spiritual battles and going to prayer together, being in agreement, just recognizing some of those devices of the enemy to try to separate you and start the word. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one of the biggest fights we ever had was right before running a connect group
so
in our
true.
Home.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the tension.
Yeah, we're literally.
Can you relate? It's just
it was
in
brutal.
The room. And then you're like, we have to get this sorted. Yep. They're coming.
It's actually good to have a connect group that night because we had to go line in the sand, go open the door, welcome people, right?
And we recognized later, it's like, what was that even about?
Yeah.
It was just we were triggered.
Warfare, because we're going to make a difference in people's lives.
So it's working, just being aware of that.
Yeah.
And then going, okay, come on, let's pray against that.
Yes.
Let's pray into things together.
Yes.
And then just like, okay, we're building this strength in prayer. We are taking ground together.
Yeah.
But we've learned how to do that and we're continually learning.
Yeah. So, I mean, just for marriage, the foundation of learning to pray together is important. But then grow that warfare that, you know, the Bible talks about. If we can strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. So there's a bigger target on us and on our marriage. So we kind of, one, look at what is a spiritually significant ground-taking moment or season.
Yeah.
And definitely it's things like a Vision Sunday or raising money's got its own demons. Vision, you know, when you're talking about what you're giving
buildings.
As well as, building church buildings, hiring staff, you know, when you're going to win souls. So we would always
any step up in leadership, right?
Yeah.
Any role that you're stepping
taking
into
on leadership, extra
that you
responsibility.
Haven't been in, it's just
church
sort of
planting.
Like you're a target.
So we've learned, okay, go
preempting that.
Let's preempt and start praying into that. Start binding the devil before we get that.
It's powerful.
But then also the other side. Afterwards, sometimes you're like, oh, it's been awesome. It's been a mountaintop experience. But then you hit the emotional flatness of output.
Yeah.
Again, being
aware.
Yeah, being aware. So I think awareness
and
warfare.
And not taking it out of
each just
other
awareness. Just, okay, high encouragement to each other.
Yeah.
Extra grace because, you know, okay, you wouldn't normally be like that. But right now you're under spiritual pressure. So extra grace and prayer. So,
a few things that we've learned.
There's a few things we've learned. I hope you found that helpful. 10 hot tips for you in marriage and in ministry. Thanks for joining us on the C3 Church Global Podcast.
God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings. are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.